If you get your Bibles out and follow with us, we're going to be looking at, and there's a handout for this, statement that Enoch walked with God. It's a very, we'll get to it. In Genesis 5, 22 and 23, it says, when Enoch walked with God, or then Enoch walked with God for 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, so all the days of Enoch were 365. Might want to look at that a little closer, you know, as to the numbers. Significant. The story of the life of Enoch seems almost too short for such an extraordinary individual. You know, as he's brought up, people, you know, go, wow, that's interesting. Yeah, here's an individual that walked with God and God took him and, you know, whatever. Why isn't there more said of him? He is a true example of what men ought to be in whatever time they live. He appeared to hold the secret of what is a true life. Looking more closely at just what little is used to describe his life, though, speaks volumes. Enough is said to help us flesh out, you know, what his life was like. And we're going to be looking at some of the passages involved. The next verse up from 22 and 23, which we just read, 24, it says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So Enoch didn't die. Enoch is not different from us, other than his choices and the course of life he followed. He had the same advantages, disadvantages, whatever. The only difference was he made the right choices. You know, made a decision. Every path, you know, that our life takes, it's because we chose to take it. You know, the decision God leaves to us, that makes, you know, he wanted us to have a free will. But Enoch also had a time of growing up to do. Like I said, look at the numbers. He served God for 300 years, but he lived 365. That means he didn't get started until he was 65 years old, walking with God. So for older guys like us, it's never too late. Okay? Sometimes it just took this long to prepare us. Right, Dan? Yeah, okay. And so, you know, we can make the decision at any time to start walking with God. His walk was a figurative, as figurative as we do today. When we talk about a walk, what are we really talking about? It's a figurative use of language in the way you behave, the way you relate with your Creator. You know, that's your walk in life, or the way you relate to the world. Enoch's life was not a life of contemplation, removed from the cares of this world. He wasn't monastic in his endeavors. He didn't go, well, the world can do what it's going to do. I'm just going to sit home and read my scriptures and, you know, be a good boy. In many other ways, Enoch's life would parallel Noah's. And so we can see what is said of Enoch is also said of Noah. And then we can see what Noah did. You know, so that fleshes things out. In Genesis 6:9, it said, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Yeah, but as we look at Noah's walk, what did he do? Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Yeah, he did all that God commanded. Not just some, but all of it. And that's termed walking with God. In this, Enoch and Noah then are no different than we're supposed to be. In Titus 2:11-12, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And there's things that we have to, what we're taught, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. Noah had to do that. Enoch had to do that. We have to do that. And to go on and live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So whatever age you're in, time of the prophets, the time of the beginning, the time of now, you know, we all have to live godly in the present age. Philippians 2:15. Paul, writing in Philippians, said that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, as Noah was, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. You know, so this is what we're striving to do as people that walk with God. to be blameless, to be innocent, to be above reproach, and to be lights. Matthew 28:20, just as with Noah, when Jesus told his disciples, the apostles, you go out into all the world and you make disciples. You do that by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. So what Noah and Enoch did is exactly what's expected of us when we walk with God, keeping all the commandments. The term to walk with God is also found among the prophets. We can see this in Micah 6:8, which adds a little bit to this life that's a walk with God. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. So we're adding the word humble. Our walk with God should be a humble walk, humble before him. The Hebrew writer also adds Enoch's walk as pleasing to God. Hebrews 11:5, it says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. He was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before he was taken up, as being taken up, he was pleasing to God. So that's one part, that's another part of Enoch's life. What he was striving to do was to please God. That was his main goal. Ephesians 5:8-10, Paul tells us we are to walk in the light. You are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's verse 8 and then verse 10, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. So that's our mission too, what we need to do. The fullness of life is really contemplating each week, each day. What can I do today? And each one is special in this. What is it about our life that we can look at and say, how could I live my life this day that I'm pleasing to God? What is it I especially can do? Each one has its problems. Overcoming those problems would be pleasing to God. There are things that we need to be doing. Our doing that would be pleasing to God. Okay? Could be talking to a neighbor. Could be helping the family. It could be increasing ourselves, our growth in the spirit, or working with somebody else. Each one has his own task God's assigned to him. We need to fulfill that and be pleasing to the Lord. Nor was Enoch's walk merely a reflexive one to let the world do its thing, as we already mentioned. Notice in 2 Peter 2:5, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. While he was building the ark, he was also telling people, there's a reason I'm building this thing. God is mad at you because of your sins. There's going to be a day of judgment. And he tried to get them to come into the ark. Okay? Now in Jude 14 and 15, we find that Enoch was doing the same thing. About those also, Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied. He was out teaching and preaching also. He knew he had his mission in his wicked generation to try to warn them about judgment to come and how they should be living before their Creator. What he said was, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly way and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So he was trying to correct those that lived around him. Okay, this is Enoch's walk. Enoch's walk is such that it was to the end, even though it lasted 300 years. Like I said, if I started a walk with God at my age, I'm looking at maybe just 20 years. And sometimes 20 years of serving God every day, Enoch did it for 300. And evidently, he didn't regret one day of it. He was pleasing to God. Therefore, God considered him special and dealt with him as such. Revelation 2:10, this is what we're told to do, to be faithful unto death. So that's what God expects us. As we confess our faith, it should be a confession that goes every day till the last day. And that's what God expects of us. And in this, Enoch is our example. Is Enoch's life more special without dying? Well, Noah died even though he walked with God. His life was the same as Enoch, and he died. This is God's choice. One he took, one he didn't. In Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Although Enoch's end, and this is kind of what fascinates us about the life of Enoch, is that end part of it where he didn't die. We think it's something special, you know, because he's pointed out as one of those individuals that wasn't, you know, that didn't die on this earth. All the rest of us are kind of subject to that. His end of life is different, but it's not too different from that of Elijah. In 2 Kings 2, 3, and 5, 9 through 10, it says, now it came about that when he had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be. And so, as we know the story, Elijah was taken up, you know, and didn't die either. Okay. Was Elijah's life any more special than Enoch's or Noah's? No. In fact, we're kind of privy to some of the things where, you know, the faith of Elijah was a little bit, you know, wanting at times, but he overcame those. But he was still taken up. So being taken up is God's prerogative, and it really doesn't make that much difference about the person. All we know is, and what we're given, is the things that Noah did, or the things that Enoch did. Always faithful unto death, pleasing to God, walked the way God wanted him to, kept all the commandments, just as Noah did. That's what's important. This is what the example is to us. Elijah was a man of passions and problems just like we are. So even though Elijah was taken up, it didn't make him different or special than the rest of us. And this is what the scripture is trying to tell us. In James 5:17, it says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, but he prayed earnestly. That was the difference. You know, he lived a life that God was in it, and so that brought power into his life. In such a way, even though he was just an ordinary man, but his walk with God was close. And because of that, it goes on to say in James, when he prayed, it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and the sky opened up, the rain fell, the earth, you know, produced its fruit. A man just like us. But God heard his prayers. This is what is different about the Christian. The person that truly walks with God. He has God in his life. He has God listening to his prayers. And because of that, God's power is in his life. For the healings that we pray for the direction nations go, the direction our whole life goes, the growth of the church. All these things are sometimes beyond our power, but we have the power to pray to God, and he can make them happen. Enoch's passing is referred to as a translation. That is, he did not die physically. You stop thinking, what's a translation? Well, you're going from one state to another. What do you do when you translate something? You know, like we're doing in our Greek class, we're, you know, looking at Greek and we translate it into English. You know, you find out how you do that. It's switching states. Now, we've already done that if we're Christians. We've already done it once. Colossians 1:13, it says we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his dear son. Yeah. When we made our first decision and we're beginning to be acceptable to God and we answered the call, we repented of our sins, we confessed Jesus as our Lord because we believed all that God was telling us in his word, we were baptized, had our sins washed away, and rose up to walk in a new life. What does that new life entail? Trying to learn what's pleasing to God. Being humble before him. Okay? And in this, we're actually looking at another translation. And that's where we're ending with here. If we are righteous, blameless, obedient, humble, praying, seeking to please the Lord in everything, then when this life is over, we're going to be translated just as Enoch was. We're going to go see God. Yeah? And that's what makes his life worth emulating. Don't concentrate on the last part of it. Concentrate on the fullness of it and make your life as full so that you're ready to meet your God. In fact, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if we're still alive when he comes again, we'll be taken up and meet him in the air, and then we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Yeah. We'll be just like Elijah and Enoch. But are you ready for it? This is the question we put to you. We always have to look to ourselves to answer, have we made the right decisions? Is our walk in life the one that God wants us to do? Are we trying to be pleasing to him? And are we walking humbly before him? And again, always the invitation, any way we can help one another, please let us know as we stand to sing.